What a beautiful day. I love waking up and seeing in the morning as I sit on the rocking chair in the living room, the sun peek up over the trees. It's beautiful to see that today, and I'd like more of it. Maybe we'd all like a little bit more of it. And we're doing a series through the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. We've been in for a number of weeks, dating back to the beginning of the new year, and we only have two books left. We have Ecclesiastes, which we have two more messages in today and next Sunday, and then we begin a three-week mini-series through the Song of Songs, and that will wrap up our time together through the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. We have a memory verse for the month of April. It's on the screen here before us. Why don't we say it together today? Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind, Ecclesiastes 12:13. And we will indeed cover that verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 next week together in our final sermon in this series through Ecclesiastes. And we've been doing this series with several reminders and outcomes in mind, and you can see them on the screen, and we've been doing it with the reminder that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable or useful for the building up of His church. And today we turn our attention to the times and seasons. And I can't believe I'm about to do what I'm about to do. I may regret it for a long time, but I'm going to do it anyway, because we're talking about times and seasons. There you go. Somebody said, you had hair. I did at one point in my life. That is a childhood version of me on a lion at a zoo. I believe we were in Cedar Point, Ohio. Then you see a few of my senior pictures, and you can probably see in those pictures why I no longer have hair. Just a warning to all the young men out there, keep your hair the color it was, or it is, because if you put the blonde streaks in it, apparently it falls out when you get older. So, and then finally, in the bottom, you might look at that picture and say, well, he's wearing a tie. He never wears a tie. Well, if you know the whole story, this is actually a picture in college, and I was protesting the fact that sometimes we had to wear ties, and so you can't see it in this picture, but the actual back of the tie, the thin piece, I have all the way down, and the thick part I have up here in a role reversal. So times and seasons of our lives. Then there's this, times and seasons. Yes, it'll be 21 years in just about a month. And yeah, I give the Lord praise every day. When you look back at this picture, it's hard for me to imagine that somebody so beautiful would marry somebody so weird. But she did, nonetheless, and I'm very thankful for that. And you can see in the wedding picture there at Mount Nebo United Methodist Church, right over in Peckway, Pennsylvania, there is where we got married. I have one of those spray canisters, and before the kiss, I had to make sure I had fresh breath. I didn't want that first kiss to not be with good breath. And so Sheila's grandfather always gave me a hard time about that. But times and seasons, the times change, the seasons change. That guy right there eventually became that guy right there. And those people right there eventually gave way to these people right here. And times and seasons, quite a change. The picture that's most recent is the picture of our family in New York City. That was actually, I believe, the week before Christmas Eve. We went to New York City with some dear friends of ours and spent the day there. And so you can see our family and our children, how they've grown through the times and through the ages. Certainly, the seasons come and seasons go, but there's one thing that you'll notice in all of these pictures that you've seen, whether it's that picture, or whether it's that picture, or whether it's the picture of all the kids together. We tend to take snapshots and photos of the bright and fun times and seasons of our lives, and not always the messy, hard, and difficult seasons of our lives. And yet we know that those seasons exist as well. In fact, Solomon tells us that there is a time and a place for all seasons. And that's the text we're going to be exploring today. If you have your Bibles, you want to take them and turn them to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And a question that we might explore together today as we step into this text together is, what is our most hopeful response and posture as we journey through life's most joyful and disruptive times and seasons? And to answer that question, we want to turn our attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and consider Solomon's reflections in this book. And before we read, let's pray and ask God to help guide our time together today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are, for your goodness, for your vastness, for your unfathomableness, Lord. We cannot comprehend you. You are so great. You are so big. And yet, Lord, you are with us in so many ways. You condescend and come to us. Such beautiful things beyond our imaginations. And Lord, we turn our attention today to the times and seasons that we live in here in this world, often blended together, sometimes full of joy and delight, sometimes full of tears and grief. And Lord, we know that there is a right and good way to be present in each of these times and seasons. And we hope as we examine your word today that you would guide our hearts and guide our minds to understanding what a good and right posture would be in each and every season that comes into our lives. Help us remember that there is nothing that is wasted in this world, that you use all things, Lord, for your purposes, and help us to cling to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 to 13 and remain mostly in those verses together today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 to 13. And don't sing the birds song in your mind while I read it. Well, you can. It's fine. Some of you already are. For everything, there is a season and a time. For every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of his toil. This is God's gift to man. An appropriate time for everything, and an appropriate time for every activity on earth. And we often get mixed up and find ourselves in difficult circumstances when we fall into the habit of doing things outside of the appropriate time and season. Our activities may very well be good, but not appropriately timed. They may be out of place. Or we might be exactly where we're supposed to be, but not doing the thing that we're supposed to be doing in that location. Just as last week, we rehearsed that one of the tasks of our spiritual leaders and mentors is to help us know what to pay attention to and when to pay attention to it. Another important task of our spiritual leaders is to help us learn and to practice doing the right things at the right time in the right and appropriate spaces. As we grow up and mature into adulthood, it's important for us to know that eating is good. Eating is healthy. But eating while one is on a roller coaster may not be very good, either for you or the people in front or behind you on the roller coaster. It's important to learn and to know that praying is a vital and valuable spiritual discipline that helps us grow in our love and in our dependence on God and one another. But it's also important to know that praying with one's eyes closed while driving could quite possibly lead to a difficult ending. We humans have important choices to make every day. What we participate in, what attitudes or habits we are to put on or to take off, when to do this or when to do that, how to respond in this time, in this season, to such and such, whatever might be going on. And these decisions are important. They're not inconsequential. They have ramifications and consequences for how we live well and right in community with God and with one another. If we had the time today, we could read all of chapter 3 and find out in the later verses that Solomon is reminding his congregation on how to live rightly in each time and season, and that living rightly keeps us from sinning against God and sinning against one another. One aspect of biblical wisdom as we are maturing is knowing when to practice, say, or perform the right task at the right time, in the right place. And so Solomon crafts verses 2 to 8 in the form of ancient Near Eastern poetry. That's what we're reading in verses 2 to 8. And it's to help us imagine the presence of all of these various times and seasons that we will be confronted with here on earth. These verses are made up of 14 pairs of polar opposites, if you recognize, as we read them. Each pair is grouped with another to make 7 stanzas. And in verses 2 to 8, Solomon's using an ancient poetic method that's still used today. It's called a merism. And it's a method that suggests completeness or wholeness. We see a similar tool used in Psalm 139, verses 2 to 3. We know this psalm very well. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. And so if we were to lay the different stanzas into a table, it would look like this in verses 2 to 8. You see on one side, born plant, the other side, die and uproot, and you can see the contrast on each side of the table. We might pause here to recognize something that Solomon and the scriptures is not saying in this text. The portion of text that we're studying today is not implying that every one of these activities, seasons, and time is good or that God approves of all of these things. Certainly there were difficult words that we read in our text today. War, hatred, all of those things. Our author is observing that in a world inhabited by those made in the image of God, there will be times and seasons that reflect the goodness of that image in this world. We are people created in God's image, and as such, there are times, there are seasons, there are things that we will do that are good and righteous and whole. And also, as fallen humanity, broken and held captive by sin and death, there will be hard, uncomfortable, and dark times as well. And as such, this world will often reflect the darkness and despair that come as a consequence of sin and death. What the preacher, as he identified himself last week, Solomon, what the preacher is protesting is the truth that we have no control over the times and seasons that we're born into. We simply do not control it. And in the course of our lives, many of us here today can affirm this, there are some times and some seasons that seem to suddenly shift and change in a way that moves or shakes us to our core. We're going along in this world, everything seems well and fine and good, but then a global pandemic, a natural disaster, a difficult diagnosis, a war that was unexpected, something that quickly dissolves our dancing and laughter into grief and mourning. And when we are laboring to make sense of how to live rightly within every time and season that comes, can we trust, as New Testament Christians, as followers of Jesus today, can we trust that God has ordered and ordained every time and season so that it fits beautifully within its place in the scope of human history? And that is where Solomon leads us in verses 9 to 11. Let's take a look again. What gain has the worker from his toil? In verse 9, I have observed the burden that God has given people to keep them occupied. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity, or in the original Hebrew, the word can also be translated ignorance. Isn't that interesting? You can make a note there. Also, he has put eternity, or ignorance, into the human heart, yet so that we cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end. Speaking on these verses, one biblical commentator noted the following. He said, quote, "This quest to make meaning is a deep-seated desire, a compulsive drive, because we are made in the image of God to appreciate the beauty of creation on an aesthetic level, to know the character and composition and meaning of the world on an academic and philosophical level, and to discern its purpose and destiny on a theological level. Man then has an inborn inquisitiveness and capacity to learn how everything in his experience can be integrated to make a whole." End quote. Now that was a very deep quote. It took me a few times to read it and to really appreciate it. So I summed it up in my own words. And I say this, we have a deep-seated, heart-motivated desire to discover our beginnings, to observe and discern beauty, and to understand and interpret our world and make sense of our greater purpose and eternity. There are big questions that many of us ask from the beginning of our childhood, from our earliest years. Why am I here? What is going on? Why is this happening? What am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to be living in light of all that's going on around me? And in our pursuit of this knowledge, we are humbled to learn that God has placed incomprehension or even ignorance in our hearts so that we cannot fully make sense of or fully interpret and understand the times and seasons we live in. Why? Why would he do this? Maybe that concerns some of us. Some of us strive very, very, very hard to try to make sense of the world we live in. Some of us want to know the reasons, the rhymes, the purposes, the meanings behind everything that's happening in this world. We try to seek it out on our own, to dig deep, to go into every nook and cranny that we can, to discover more and add to our knowledge and keep growing. And we get a little bit frustrated that God may have created us incapable of fully grasping and understanding all of these things. And we ask, why? Why? Could it be so that we could learn to depend on Him and to walk in His ways, to trust Him, to grow in our love for Him, to find our satisfaction in Him, and to live a life that is characterized by faith and not by sight. Life, friends, then, is more than what we can see. Life's purposes and deeper meanings go beyond that which we can fathom or make sense of, and this is a very good thing, I believe. We have a great and mighty God who created all that we can see, who lives beyond our imaginations, but has given us imaginations that we might discover and think deeply about Him. According to Solomon's words, the same God has made everything fit beautifully in its appropriate time. When life's times and seasons are confusing to us, when they're difficult, when we're feeling very lonely, maybe even life gets debilitating, we can grab hold of Jesus' garment and cling to Him and let Him hold us, heal us, and carry us into softer, safer, and gentler days. Friends, as New Testament Christians alive in the church today, we have the hope of Jesus to cling to, no matter the time or the season. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
And whether those days are found here on earth or whether it's eternity in heaven, we have Christ and we could be thankful. And I would say, yes, there are difficult days. There are hard, hard days. This year, the Lord challenged me to add 15 minutes into my morning routine to journal. And so I started in 2024, January 1st, journaling. And each day I take 15 minutes and I journal from one of the Psalms. And at first it started shaky. I hadn't really been in the practice or habit of it. And as I've started doing it each day, a theme has begun to emerge. And I'm recognizing that it's a theme that fits so appropriately in my life right now. And maybe it's a theme that fits so appropriately for some of yours today. At first, it started like this. At the end of every entry, I just type two words. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And then I began to wrestle with that. And it's interesting, I began to wrestle with that when we got into the wisdom literature and I started going through the wisdom literature and I felt like, that feels a lot like human striving to me. Keep going. I feel like I'm doing it. I know I'm not. I know God's doing it within me, but still I was typing it every day and I felt like, this feels like human striving. And so it was a week or so later, another two words came to me. And so now the end of every journal entry that I write has four words. Keep going. Find rest. Keep going. Find rest. And that's just carried me this year. It's carried me through difficult times. It's carried me through hard times as I cling to Christ. I can know that from beginning to end, my life is held within the good and gracious hands of Jesus. Come what may, He has saved me. He's healed me. He's set me free to live walking by faith in love with increasing hope for a good and eternal future. And a question I could ask myself, and maybe you might ask yourself today, is my life proclaiming this gospel? When people look at the character of my life, would they say that statement is true by the way I live? It's a challenge for me. Here's a prayer that we can pray when life comes at us with its most difficult of moments. Father in heaven, you are faithful. You are good. You are true. I cannot make sense of your plan or purpose in this moment or season of my life right now, but help me trust you. Guide me to walk by faith and love. Remind me to cling to you. Keep my eyes fixed on you. I know that you can carry and comfort me through this, come what may. Amen. We can pray that prayer every single day. Because it's true. Our lives are a gift. And this is the summation that Solomon walks us towards in these thoughts that he has in this portion of his monologue. In verses 12 and 13, we can rehearse them again. He says, I've concluded that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to enjoy themselves as long as they live, and also that everyone should eat and drink and find enjoyment in all of his toil, for these are a gift from God. Seasons of war, seasons of lack, of brokenness, of upheaval, of discomfort, they might come, and they are hard, and they're difficult to face. Even still, within every season, a person with their eyes fixed on God, seeking to follow in his ways, can find reasons to be happy and enjoy themselves. For even in the difficult times and difficult seasons, we still receive good and precious gifts and blessings from God. We have our breath, we have our life, we have food, we're satisfied, we have drink, water when we need it in abundance, not Mountain Dew. Not good. We have the satisfaction of the work of our hearts and our hands. As we delight ourselves in the Lord and in doing things for His glory, living rightly, living justly in every season of life, we have reason to enjoy life. The psalmist says it this way in Psalm 37, take delight in the Lord, we know this, and He will give you the desires of your heart. In the New Testament, Paul grounded all of our daily activities in pursuit of God's glory. He said, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Whatever season we may find ourselves in, whatever season we may take, we can take delight in the Lord. And we can do all things for the glory of God. We might ask ourselves then, how would we know? What is the fruit or the flavor of a person's life when they are truly living in pursuit of this ideal, delighting themselves in the Lord, come what may, in whatever season they find themselves in life? And to conclude our time this morning, I want to turn our attention to the Apostle Paul. He was a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ. He was laboring throughout the Roman Empire. He was planting and establishing faithful churches that would faithfully represent and image Jesus in the world. And Paul's times and seasons were very topsy-turvy. He gives testimony of the difficult things that he went through. But there were also times in his ministry where he was celebrating the fruit of what God was doing. And here is what he writes to the people of God that were gathered in the city of Corinth. We can find these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. They reveal much about how we might live faithfully through the highs and lows of life's times and seasons. And I'm going to read them today from the Message. If you just want to listen, that's fine. If you want to follow along, that's fine as well. Tremendous words related to living faithfully in every time and season of life. Starting in chapter 4, verse 16. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. Then chapter 5. For instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven, God-made, not handmade. And we will never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, and so we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack, and we're tired of it. We've been giving a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. The Spirit of God whets our appetites by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little heaven in our hearts so that we never settle for less. Verse 6. That's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see us drooping our heads or dragging our feet. Cramped conditions here don't get us down. They only remind us of the spacious living conditions ahead. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks in the path are going to stop us? When the time comes, we'll be plenty ready to exchange exile for homecoming. But neither exile nor homecoming is the main thing. Neither one. Don't get all caught up in exile or homecoming. Neither is the main thing. Here it is. Cheerfully pleasing God is the main thing. And that's what we aim to do, regardless of our conditions, regardless, we might say, of the times or seasons. Sooner or later, we'll all have to face God, regardless of our conditions. We will appear before Christ and take what's coming as a result of our actions, either good or bad. The fruit of faithfulness through life's times and seasons. If you're interested in an activity this week, maybe you'd go back to that portion of Scripture and look for all of the different ways that you can find the fruit of faithfulness through life's times and seasons. Friends, does this characterize the church? What a hopeful body people in our world could look to if this is what characterized the body of Christ. Hope-filled outlooks, no matter what. Endurance, persistence, grace, humility, dependence on God and one another. Honesty, holding our eternal future in view. Joy, gladness, good cheer, focused on pleasing God in consistent obedience. All of it, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 15, all of it as compelled by the love of Christ. And so we ask the question, no matter the time, no matter the season, what is our most hopeful response and posture as we journey in this world? And considering these words today, we might answer it in the following way: to walk by faith in the fear of our Lord, compelled by Jesus' love and comforted by the continual presence of his Spirit in our lives. As our team comes, let's pray. Father, we recognize this morning that you give us every time and season. that they're part of this world that we live in, that some are filled with joy and laughter, gladness and cheer, and others are filled with difficulty, hardship, and grief. And Lord, it's our intent, it's our desire to live for your glory, to live faithfully as your disciples in each and every season that you bring into our lives. And may it be so. As a community of faith, Lord, might we be united in fixing our eyes on Jesus and remembering that his death and his resurrection has provided for us the clear opportunity to cling, to abide, and to live in every season with gratitude, with love, and faithful obedience. And we give you the glory, and we long to delight in you, in each one. It's in Jesus' name we pray.